completed this week, this month. We've been going through our core values: love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples. Last week was make disciples because the guys I wanted to do those things, especially this guy, wasn't available last Sunday, so we scheduled seek the lost for the day. You're going to hear about how we can take the gospel to the world, and if you've not yet received that gospel, I pray that you'd hear it well. Dr. Matt Queen is the professor of evangelism at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, but has consistently, over the last decade, 12 years of my life, been the closest thing on this side of heaven that I have to an earthly brother. And so I pray you'll listen with open heart, open mind, open ears to what I believe to be the greatest evangelist on the North American continent. So I pray you'll listen to the Word of God as it's preached. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tommy, and thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to be with you. I enjoyed last year with you all. God is doing something here in East Leesville, Louisiana, and I'm just glad to be able to just be here to see what He's doing among this body called East Leesville Baptist Church. I do want to bring you greetings from Lane Prairie Baptist Church in Joshua, Texas. That's in the middle of nowhere, if you've never heard of it. That's why, because it's in the middle of nowhere. But I serve as the associate pastor of evangelism there, and they allow me to go and preach in churches like that. And also, I bring you greetings from Southwestern Seminary here today. I have no greater friend in this world than your pastor, Pastor Tommy. I love that man. He and his wife have been so helpful to us in many ways, one of which that I'll never forget. Probably about 7-8 years ago, my wife began to have some numbness and some tingling in her legs, and we didn't know exactly what that was. And we went to a doctor, and our doctor at the seminary sent us to a neurologist, and a neurologist sent us to the hospital, and come to find out my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And that began a battle where we would go back and forth to the hospital. We had two girls, and we couldn't take the girls up there with us, and there was nobody else that we trusted with our kids other than these two folks. These are like their adopted parents in many ways, and we were able to leave the girls with them, and Carol Ann didn't have to whip them too much. But anyway, we did that, and I want to just tell you, in my personal life, I'm 46 years old, I've never struggled with something more than my wife being able to go from one minute being able to walk to the next minute having trouble walking. I'll never forget when it got to one point in November of one particular year. It's about probably 6-7 years ago. I remember she woke up. I was getting ready to go to work, and she said, "Matt, I need your help." I said, "What do you need, honey?" She says, "I can't feel my legs." And I had to get a rolling chair and pull it into our bedroom, and I had to pick my bride up and put her in a chair and had to roll her to the front door and pick her up and put her in the car, put the kids in the car, drop them off at the Kiker's house, go to the hospital, and then do more tests. And I began to pray to God, "Dear God, I know you've healed the sick. Would you please heal my wife?" And it seemed like sometimes when I would pray that my prayers wouldn't even go any higher than the ceiling. And I begged God to heal her, knowing that He didn't have to be God, but He could do it if He wanted to. And praise be to God, there was a treatment that we found. It was an experimental type of treatment that had just been approved. It's pretty severe. It knocks out your immune system. It's a chemotherapy. But praise be to God, I'm here to tell you that for the last 6.5 years or so, 6 years I guess it has been, maybe 5 years, something like that. I'm not good at numbers, but 5 or 6 years, my wife has been able to walk. My wife can feel her legs. My wife can dance. Now, we don't dance a lot, we're Baptist, but she could dance if she wanted to. She can go up steps. She couldn't used to go up steps. And my wife has been healed by the power of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But I want you to know that God didn't heal my wife just because I asked. God had a purpose in that. Let me ask you, have you ever been through something in your life where something bad happened to you or someone you love, and it was bad and it took you down to the lowest place, and it took you a place where you had nothing else but God, and you cried out to God to do something and He answered it, but that wasn't the only purpose that He answered the prayer. There was something beyond that. I'll never forget, I was taken out to dinner by one of our graduates, one of our PhD graduates, and as I was, we were talking to our server, and as is our custom, we began to share the gospel with the server. And the server says, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm an atheist. There's no evidence for God. And all of a sudden, you know what the Holy Spirit did? He reminded me that there was evidence. And I said, you know what? Let me give you some evidence. And I told the story of my wife, how the doctor said there's nothing we can do. We tried this last treatment. That's the only thing we can do. And other than that, she may go where she can't even walk ever again. And how the Lord God healed my wife. And I said to him, I said, now you tell me, where's the evidence for God? You tell me how there's not a God if that was what her case was. And now she's able to walk and she doesn't have any more problems. Now the burden of proof's on you, buddy. And God used that to be able to make that man. And he said, you know what? I've never thought about that before. And God used that healing to make a man think about salvation. You know, that reminds me of our text today. And if you've got your Bibles, your phone or tablet, I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And God did something not only like what he did with my wife, but he did something 2,000 years ago with another man who, we don't know if he had multiple sclerosis. We don't know what kind of things plagued his body to give paralysis in his legs. But God did another kind of thing, not only for that man, but for another purpose. And if you would follow along with me in the text, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, if yours is just a little bit different. Mark chapter 2, if you'll follow along with me as I begin to read. The Bible says, and when he, Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there were no more room, not even near the door. And he was preaching the word to them. In other words, he was preaching not the Bible, but I mean, not that he's against preaching the Bible. When it says he was preaching the word, he was preaching the gospel to them. The word is another word for the gospel here. And so he preached the gospel to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic man carried by four men. When they could not get any near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus. When they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some of the scribes, they're sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go home. And he arose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw anything like this. In this real life encounter in Jesus' life, Jesus was preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says when he came into this particular home, this home was probably the house of Peter, Simon, and Andrew. And because in the chapter beforehand, he comes to this house and Jesus does the unspeakable for some men. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, some of you men don't like your mother-in-laws, but I want you to know something. You need to come up here and repent, because Jesus loves mother-in-laws. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in the house, and he returns to that house. I see some of you wives looking at your husbands and punching them there, and maybe you're a mother-in-law and doing that. I don't know, to your son-in-law, but nevertheless, Jesus healed this mother-in-law. Jesus has to leave because of the fame that he's received, and he comes back to this house, probably this house, and there he is, and he begins to teach the word, and as people begin to hear about him, they begin to trickle in. In fact, Mark tells us that they're in a prominent place there in the house. The scribes are sitting there. Other people are around. Peter is there. There's other people that are coming in, and if there were windows, there's people looking in the windows, in the door itself, there's people standing in the door, and no one can see Jesus, just a little glimpse of him, because there's so many people there. The Bible says, when there was no more the room, even at the door, he began to preach the word, and then there's this interruption on the scene. Look at what verse 3 says. And they came. Who? Who came? I mean, Jesus is preaching. Who's they? Well, Mark's going to tell us. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. We don't know who they were, but there were four men who saw a man who was paralyzed. Now, many times preachers will preach, this was their friend. It may have been their friend. It may not have been their friend. They may have just seen somebody in need of Jesus. Let me just tell you something. We need to tell our friends about Jesus. Amen? Amen. But we don't need to just tell our friends. If we see someone lying on the side of the road who is in need of Jesus Christ, whether we know them, whether we don't know them, we better tell them about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I'm all for friendship evangelism as long as it's got evangelism in it and not just friendship, you know. A lot of friendship evangelism, just a bunch of friendship and not evangelism. But friends, that's the only kind of evangelism. These men, whether they knew him or not, bring the man to Jesus. You think that's a good thing, right? It brings him to Jesus. You imagine whenever they bring this man to Jesus, that all of a sudden, all that crowd of people who are in the doors, who are in the rooms, who are listening to Jesus, they would see the need. And they, like the Red Sea, would begin to part and make their way around so that they could have a clear shot to Jesus, don't you? But you know what? A lot of people who hear Christian preaching, a lot of people in churches and everything else, they're more concerned about what they can get out of the service. They're more concerned about what it will do for them than they are what it will do for those that are outside that need Jesus the most. That's exactly what happens. When they come, look at what the Bible says. Do they get out of the way and say, yeah, this guy needs Jesus a lot more than we do. He can't even walk. What do they do? Look, the Bible says, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd. Let me ask you a question today. Are your preferences getting in the way of people who need access to Jesus? Just because you don't like this music, or because you don't like this preacher, or you don't like this preaching, or you don't like this translation, or you don't like this thing. Friends, let me tell you something. I'm so thankful to God for this church and this church's staff and the way that they are reaching out to people who need a church. In fact, your pastor this morning, I'm going to brag on him because he's got a million reasons he could be bragged on. But this morning, as he came to pick me up from the hotel, he was sharing the gospel with the lady there at the desk. And the lady at the desk was saying, well, does your church have this? And does your church have that? And does your church have this? And he was able to tell her what this church has. So let me just ask you a question. Are you getting in the way? These people, they were more concerned about what they wanted by hearing Jesus than a man who needed access to Jesus to be able to walk. These men, upon seeing this crowd, if they'd have been like the crowd of Christians today, they'd have seen they couldn't get to Jesus. You know what they'd have done? They'd have let him back down and they'd have gone in there and tried to hear him himself. But these guys would not be deterred, and the Bible says when they could not come near him because of the crowd, verse 4, they removed the roof above him. Literally in the text, it says they unroofed the roof. In other words, it wasn't a roof anymore. They did demolition damage. And the Bible says, and when they made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. They were desperate to get this man that either they knew or that they didn't know, but what they did know is that he needed access to Jesus. They were desperate to get him to Jesus. And they put him in the presence of Jesus. And if this was Peter's house, if it was, can you imagine old Peter? Impetuous Peter. He always had something to say. He had to be a Baptist. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he's there, and all of a sudden the roof starts falling down on top of his head. Can you imagine that? Who's going to pay for that? Where's the insurance company for that? And all of a sudden they come down. No. I'm not talking about y'all's roof, okay? Your pastor would have been okay with it if somebody's coming to see Jesus, okay? That was the rain. Okay. They came down. And Peter's there. And he's thinking whatever he's thinking. And look at what Jesus is thinking. The Bible says, verse 5, when Jesus didn't see the hole in the roof, but when Jesus saw the hole and the need in this man's life, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. He saw the greatest need. Now those men, they thought the greatest need was the legs. In fact, they were there trying to get him to Jesus, but Jesus said, your greatest need is that you be forgiven of your sin. I don't know if you're visiting here today, and if you are, I hope you come back for a better preacher next week. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on there. I hope you come back for a better preacher next week. But let me just say this to you. If you're here today, and maybe this is your first time, or maybe this is God's, you're saying, God, this is my last chance at religion. This is my last chance at you. And you come with something because you got a problem, marriage problem, financial problem, health problem, whatever it might be. Let me tell you something. That is a real problem, and I see it, and God sees it. But there is no greater problem that you need solved today than to have Jesus Christ forgive you of your sins. In fact, maybe the reason that you're in the predicament you find yourself is because of your sin. That's what the people then thought. You know, in that day, they thought if somebody can't walk, if somebody has some ailment, someone has some physical problem, that must be because they sinned and God is trying to punish them. That's what they thought. But Jesus, when he saw that, he said, that's just another human being, just like us all, just like you all, who sin. But Jesus said, I'm going to forgive you of that sin, so that those people see that God has a great love for the lost and to save people of their sins. And so he does that. He says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And look at what verse 6 says. These must be the Baptists in the crowd, because when somebody gets saved, what do? The Bible says, now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. Let me ask you something, East. When someone gets saved, do you rejoice? Are you happy? Or do you look them up and you look them down and say, I don't know if they're going to fit in here. They were questioning in their hearts. And look at what they were questioning. He said, why does this man speak like that? Why is Jesus talking like that? He is blaspheming. Jesus is blaspheming? Jesus is he's saying something so bad against God that people ought to rip their clothes about it? He's blaspheming. What is he blaspheming? Look, here's what he's blaspheming, they thought. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, they're right in that. Let me tell you something. Pastor Tommy can do a lot of things, but he can't forgive you of your sins. Let me tell you something. Oprah Winfrey, your counselor, whoever, your favorite TV preacher, whatever it is, they can't forgive you and absolve you of your sins. Only God can forgive sins. Because he's the one that is holy and he is the one that is sinless. The Bible says, who can forgive sins but God alone? You know what they were missing? They were missing that Jesus was God. Jesus could forgive sins, but they didn't see him as someone who could forgive sins because they didn't see him as God. But you know how we know Jesus is God? Because number one, he forgave sins. But you know the other reason we know that he was God? Because he did something that only God could do. He could read the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts. In fact, I can look at you some right now. Right over here, this brother right here is thinking about supper tonight. He's thinking about what the chicken and dumplings or whatever. This one over here is thinking about work. But other than those two, I don't know what you're thinking. But you know, right now, you can put on a good face, but God knows exactly what you're thinking. Right now, whatever you're thinking about, whatever's most important to you, God is thinking about. God knows that. And God knew that here because, look, Jesus, he didn't take a guess, an educated guess. The Bible says, immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves. If you're making questions in your mind right now, I can't read that. Pastor Tommy can't read that, but God can read it. And God, because he was God, he can not only forgive sins, he knew the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he said to them, why do you question about these things in your heart? He said, which is easier for me to say? To say your sins are forgiven? Or for me to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? You know what? Anybody can come and say, I absolve you of your sins. I forgive you of your sins. How do you know that really? Because you can't look within the heart. But if Jesus was to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, a man who could not walk, who was known not to walk, and if he did that, then they would realize that if he could do that, he could also forgive in the heart. And that's why the Bible says, but that you may know that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has the authority on earth to forgive sins. You know what Jesus is saying there? So that you might know that I am God. He said to the paralytic, I say, rise, take up your bed and go home. And immediately the man rose And he picked up his bed and went out before the presence of them all. Jesus is God, number one, because he can forgive sins. Jesus is God in this text, number two, because he knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And number three, Jesus is God because he can, upon command, heal people of their sins. Now, he doesn't always do that. I thank God that he did it in my wife's life. But he doesn't always do that. But that doesn't mean it make him any less God. He can do all three things. And look at what the response of everybody is. Whenever the man left and went home, the Bible says they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like that before." So what is the application for us here today? East Leesville, those that are guests, I want you to know that you didn't come today. I didn't come today just to teach you the Word of God and just let y'all say, okay, well, that's good. I can apply that in my life. I came today to call you to action. And I don't know who you are. I don't know what your stage of life is, but I want you to know this text, there's not a person in this room today that cannot respond in some way to this text. First of all, I want you to see, how did whenever Jesus claimed, "I can forgive sins," and then he said, "Let me show you the proof of it," and he healed the man, what were the response of the four men to Jesus' authority to forgive sins? Look at this. I want you to see this in verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men." The Bible didn't say that the man took himself. The Bible didn't say that the man just popped up. The Bible says that the man was carried by four men. Here's the first thing. The four men took intentional action because of Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Let me just tell you something. If anybody in East Leesville, Louisiana gets saved, it's not going to be because of osmosis. It's not going to be just automatic. It's not going to be they're just walking down the street and all of a sudden God speaks and they're saved. They're going to be one because each of, sir, you right there, because you are reaching your friends for Jesus Christ. Ma'am, right over there, because you, the person that you go to school with, you will tell someone else about Jesus Christ. You right over there, your neighbor will never come to faith in Christ until you yourself tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying it about East Leesville, I'm saying it about Southern Baptist in general. Not everybody is involved in the gospel work. At my church, we celebrate each and every week how many gospel conversations people have. We have 260 people on any given Sunday morning. And the most we've ever had in 1 week, the most is 111 in 1 week. Not even half. Most of the time, this week it was 20 conversations of 260 people. You know what that means? Not everybody's sharing the gospel. When was the last time you shared the gospel? Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe Jesus has the authority to forgive sins? If you do, make your amen action. Today, God is calling you to come up. And if you've never told someone about Jesus, you don't know how to do that. This staff is here. Pastor Joey is here. Pastor Tommy, for goodness sake, has a PhD in evangelism. He can tell you how to do it. Today, would you take one of your pastors by the hand and say, you know what? You can count on me. You can count on me to take action because I believe Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. I'm not going to just sit in the pew and amen that. I'm going to get up and take action, and I'm going to do something about it. They took intentional action. Look at the second thing that they did. Not only did the four men take intentional action, but the four men overcame obstacles because of Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. "And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and they had made an opening." Friends, I don't see that kind of desperation in our churches today. People who are going to do anything they can to see people come to faith in Christ. In fact, we're doing everything we can do not to do that. The Bible says they got down on their knees and with their fingers and with their fists, they began to beat and they began to pull and they began to beat some more and pull and open up that roof. No easy task. When's the last time that you had to overcome an obstacle? you had to go over your, you know, the time you could spend with watching TV, or maybe the time that you took, maybe taking a flight over on a mission trip or something else. When's the last time you made any kind of sacrifice? Because Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, and the only way that he can forgive somebody else's sin is because you sacrificed to do so. What sacrifices is God asking you to take? You know what? One of the great sacrifices God may be asking you to take is not to unroof a roof. God may be asking you to get over yourself. Get over your fear. Get over your feeling of inadequacy. And God is calling you today to overcome obstacles. What are the obstacles that you need to overcome in order to bring people to Jesus? What's the intentional action God is calling you to bring people to Jesus? And last, I want you to see this. The four men exhibited faith in Jesus. Look what it says here in verse 5. The Bible says, when they made an opening, they let the bed down on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw, not the man's faith alone, it was his faith he saw, but when he saw whose faith? Their faith. Do you really believe Jesus can forgive sins? Do you? Ma'am, do you believe that? Sir, back there, do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus can forgive anybody? Even that person, that drug addict? Even that prostitute? Even that person that has cussed and said, I don't want to hear about God anymore. Do you think Jesus can even save that person? The Bible says they exhibited faith. Maybe today some of you need to come to speak to your pastor. I believe all of us need to be here at this altar and say, dear God, I know someone that according to the world, it's impossible for them to get saved. But Lord, it's not impossible with you. I believe that you can do it. But you know what? It's not just the drug addict and the prostitute and the hard-hearted person. Do you know that no one can come to faith in Christ? Not even the goody two-shoes. Not even the person who is a good old country boy or a good old country girl. Not even the one that dresses the best. Not even the one that makes the most money. Friends, it is impossible for anybody to come to faith in Christ apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you come up here today, you've got a lost loved one, a friend, a family member, a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother, a child, a grandchild, a neighbor, a co-worker, a schoolmate. And you'd say, you know what? They may be good, they may be bad, but apart from Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. And you'd come today and you pray with them, pray for them. This is the response of the four men, but you know there's more responses here. Look at this. The Bible says the scribes had a response. When they heard Jesus say, son, your sins are forgiven you, what did they do? They questioned. There's some of you here today that you're questioning Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus was a radical. Jesus believed in what he preached so much that he died for it. Jesus was a good old guy. Jesus was a good teacher, you may ask. But you, like they, question, was he really God? Today I want you to know you've got men who are trained, one of the best seminaries in the world, some of the best seminaries in the world, to answer your genuine questions about Jesus today. You know, a lot of times we at the church don't have a good opportunity sometimes. We give an invitation, but you don't know that you can actually come up. Maybe you don't have a decision. Maybe you've got a question to be asked and a question that you need an answer for. And today I wonder if you just slip out, and this is going to be an opportunity for you to ask any question you want to about Jesus Christ to hopefully bring you closer to Jesus Christ. They question Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Maybe you're here and you need that answer. Would you come speak to the pastoral staff today? You know, not only did the four men respond to Jesus' authority to forgive sins, not only did the scribes respond to Jesus' authority to forgive sins, but I want you to see also that the man himself responded to Jesus' authority to forgive sins. What did he do? Well, first of all, he believed in Jesus' authority to forgive sins. The Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, it's not talking about just the four men. I can't believe you into heaven, and you can't believe me into heaven. We got to believe for ourselves. So when he said he saw their faith, he meant not just the faith of one. He didn't mean just the faith of four. He meant the faith of five. And he was one of the five. Today, I wonder. I'm not asking you, have you prayed a prayer? I'm not asking you, have you gotten wet in a tub? I'm not asking you, have you shake the preacher's hand? I'm not asking if you're a church member, but I'm asking you today, have there ever been a time in your life when you believed that Jesus could forgive you of everything you're doing, even the stuff that you're trying to hide from everybody right now? The Bible says he had faith in Jesus, but not only did one of his responses was faith in Jesus, I want you to see the other responses that he obeyed Jesus. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 11, Jesus says, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them all. Are you obeying Jesus right now? I can't help but believe that right now, somewhere in this gymnasium, there's someone who God is speaking to you right now and saying, this is the sermon that you need to respond to. You need to go to talk to the pastor. And you need to follow through. You've been forgiven of your sins, but you've never followed through with your baptism and joining with this membership. Today, I want you to know this church can tell you the process for joining the membership of this church. Today, you can come through faith in Jesus Christ and be a member of this church. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're searching for a church. And God's been calling you to find a church to be planted and to reach the world for Christ. And maybe you come up and say, you know what? I believe in Jesus, but today I need to obey him. And what do I need to do, Pastor, to be a member of this church? He believed in Jesus' authority to forgive sins. And because Jesus had the authority to forgive sins, that means he was God. So there was nothing off the table when Jesus asked him to do it that he was going to do. Is there anything off the table for you to do that Jesus is asking you to do today? And then last, and then we're done, what did everybody else do? What did everybody else do? Look at what it says here in verse number 12. When he did that, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Let me ask you, Lise Leesville, if you're not here, and if you're here and you're not somebody who needs to believe in Jesus Christ, if you're here and you're not somebody who's questioning Jesus Christ, if you're not here, if you're here and you're already telling people about Jesus, would you maybe come up to this altar and say, dear God, I want to see something at East Leesville Baptist Church in my presence, in my witness, that we can't give credit to Pastor Tommy. We can't give credit to the staff. We can't give credit to the deacons. We can't give credit to the visiting evangelists. We can only give credit to God. Awakening. Would you come up here? Do you care enough to see God move in this church that you just come and pray and say, dear God, let me see something like that, something I've never seen before. Today I wonder, will you rescue the perishing? You know that old hymn, Rescue the Perishing? You know how that came about? Fanny Crosby, a lady who wrote that hymn, she was up in New York, and she was up there, and she was among a bunch of workmen, and she began to share the gospel, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit laid upon her heart that she was to say, there's some mother's son that needs to respond to Jesus Christ today. You know, after the meeting there were many of those men that came up and said, were you talking about me? Because I think you were. And she said, if you think you were, then I was talking to you. When she saw that and she saw all these people that were rescued from perishing, she penned the following song. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them from pity, from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. East Leesville, rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently lead them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Sinner today, down in your heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that only grace can restore. Torched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Today, Jesus wants to rescue the perishing. Are you perishing in a day? You need to be rescued. Jesus calls you to come. Are there people in this area of the woods here in Louisiana that need rescuing? God's calling you to take intentional action, to overcome the obstacles, and to believe that they can believe in Jesus Christ. Are you here with questions? There's answers for you today if you'll just come and speak to this staff. And are you, as a church member, are you really just here in and out each and every week just to see what the preacher says? Or do you want to see God do something so great only He can take credit for it? God is calling you to respond. You say, I don't usually go up to the altar. The altar's for a bunch of bad people. Pastor, come on up here. Staff, why don't you come over here to the side? Let me ask you a question. Are these bad people? Some days. These are not bad people. These are people that love God. And you know what? I want to ask you today, if God's calling you to make a response, take action, get questions answered, praise God, ask God to do something great, or to believe in Him, God is calling you to come today. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. No one look around. No one look around but the pastor. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm a member of this church. I've seen some really good things in the past. But I want to see something so great that nobody can take credit for it but God. And if you really mean that from your heart of hearts, with no one looking but your pastor, would you just say, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm going to pray that God does something so great that only He can take credit for it. Anybody here like that today, just put your hand up. Let your pastor see that. Thank you, hands all over. I want to invite you, if you feel led to do so, I want to invite you to come, and I want you to pray for that today. There may be some of you, hands down now, there may be some of you that have honest, genuine questions. We're not going to come to you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to pull you down here, but maybe you got some questions about Jesus today. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need some answers to some questions. Is there anybody here like that today? Just put your hand up and let us see that. Any genuine questions? I see that hand back there. Thank you. Who else? I got some questions about Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand right there. I'm going to invite you, if you've got questions, I'm going to ask you just to come up. Right when we begin to sing, come up and speak to Pastor Tommy or somebody. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I do believe Jesus can forgive sins, but I've just not been as intentional. I need to start getting in the game. I let obstacles get in the way, but I'm going to get in the game today. And Pastor, you can count on me. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus this week. Is there anybody here like that today? And just put your hand up. I'm going to do that. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to get in the game. Thank you. Maybe you need to come up here and just make that confession and commitment to your pastor today. And then last, does somebody need to be forgiven by God? Today, do you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you need to do that, you can say a prayer like this: Dear God, I need you. I need to turn away from my sins and put my faith in you. So come into me, Lord. I believe Jesus has the power to forgive sins, and I'm asking Him to do that right now. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer just now, with faith, believing that He just saved you, would you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make the next steps. Thank you for that. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? As we sing this song, Heavenly Father God, I just pray that those that raised their hands, even those that just didn't, that need to come and respond, speak to a pastor, come to this altar and pray, that, Lord, you'd have your will and your way in this place. It's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. And church, if you agree with that prayer, would you say amen? Amen.